Many times you and I will receive information, or there's always someone out there to tell us this is what you need to do. What you and I need to be looking to is, what does Jesus say that I need to do? What does Jesus say when he's looking at me and knows me better than anyone? Larry, what does Jesus say to you? All the world can talk to you, preach to you, do all manner of things for you and to you. But only through Jesus Christ do you and I ever have the hope of that ultimate peace that we're looking for. The pain of cancer, the pain of other diseases that we battle continually, that pain can be superseded by the hope that Christ places within us. That pain can be eased by the Spirit of our great physician. I love you. Let me tell you how much I love you. I love you so much that I sent my only begotten Son, that if you will believe in him, whosoever you are, if you will believe in him, you will have everlasting life. You see, it's all in who Jesus is. Not on, well, you know, I've really done a lot of work for the Lord over the years. Well, I got news for you, folks. From your pastor, I'll let you know, I love preaching the Word of God. I love being able to read God's Word, to study, and to share that Word with anyone. I can tell you now, it is not work. Mowing my yard is work. There's work, and then there is ministry. Ministry is not an obligation. Hear me well. Ministry is not an obligation. Ministry is a commitment that Christ makes to you, and then you and I, as he makes this commitment to, can you imagine anything greater than knowing, Christian, that God knows your name and that he knows what you're capable of doing on earth, and he knows all the pluses and the minuses, and he tells us, I want you to use all your pluses because I'll take care of the minuses. All the minuses needs one mark right through the center, correct? That's the mark right through the center. God says, I'm going to focus on what I've created you to share. I want you to share my word. I want you to understand how much I love you. But you're going to have to listen to what I say. You are going to have to listen to what I say. Difficult for us to listen to what anyone says. For one thing, and we get at a point in our life, sometimes many points, where we think we're smarter than anybody else anyway. We know better. I don't even know what's around the bend. I don't know whether I'll draw the next breath. I don't know anything that's going to take place today, but one thing I do know, I know who's in charge of it. And his name is Jesus, my Savior. So today I want us to look at what Jesus says. Now when Jesus says it, you can believe it. When Jesus says it, whatever he says is real, it's alive. There's not one word that Jesus Christ ever reveals to us that is not directly from God, and yet that word is true. You and I battle from within because we're human. Well, Jesus conquered humanity. Jesus conquered all my weaknesses. I haven't. Jesus did. And then you and I, when we say, Lord, I believe, when I said yes to Jesus Christ, I was telling him, I'm going to listen to you. I know I hear you, Lord, and I'm going to listen. Hearing what someone says and listening to what someone says, worlds apart. You see that in marriages. Worlds apart. We hear a lot. Do we listen? Have you ever caught yourself listening to the wrong voice? Man, that's rough, isn't it? Well, you know what else is it, that is rough for us as human Christians? Deciding whether we're going to listen to the good voice or the bad voice. Oh, that kid's got the devil in him. That man, you know, he's got the devil taking over, whispering straight into his ear. I've never seen that. And if I see that happening where the devil's standing on one of your all shoulder, and I'm probably going to leave you alone. But God says, I don't want you to make up anything. I want you to listen to what I say. So Jesus says, and then this message he's sending out of Revelation chapter 2 is going to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Now, that's Turkey today, where all the churches were. So that's Turkey. Okay, now think of this. Christianity didn't begin in America. Yet America said, oh no, we're Christians. And yet I see people dying daily for their faith in Christ. Do you know I never had anyone threaten to kill me for preaching yet? Especially when I preached in prisons and jails. But the Lord says there's something more powerful that is destroying the hearts of a nation rather than the physical aspect of your life. Because when a nation either refuses to listen to God and a church, an assembly of believers, then God said, I'm going to give you a warning. I'm going to tell you. That's what he was doing with the seven churches in Revelation 2. But think of it. There weren't just seven churches. Jesus picked those seven churches, Christian churches, because he wanted us to draw his truth from the actions of each one of those. That seven happens to be the perfect number for God. And God says, I need to give the world a message. John, I'm going to let you see what man can't see. I'm going to give you my message. So at this church in Ephesus, of which the beloved John was pastor and leader, now the message comes to him while on the Isle of Patmos in prison to send to the churches. Jesus says this, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Did you ever sit in a church or sit somewhere and you're hearing the preacher or the teacher or whoever it is, they're just preaching up a storm and you're looking around you and saying, well, preacher, you sure put it to them today. I hope they really heard that preacher. Or the husband and wife, you know he's preaching to you, don't you? And I never said a word to him. Think of it. The Lord says, you're so important to me, I'm going to speak to you. And yet we would turn our heart away from a loving Savior who wants to talk to us personally. And then when he does and we share the word, we're considered mentally ill because we really think that we can talk to God and God really talks to us. You're delusional. And I'm sorry, you're really messed up. Do you really hear those voices?
Yeah, I do.
So I must really be nuts. I hear the voice of God in my spiritual being, in the spiritual heart. I hear God. And I also realize that I'm trying to listen to my mind at the same time. And the battle goes on. Because we still strive as much as we can to say, Lord, I want to hear more from you. Yet we fight his word. And the Jesus said, I want you to listen to me. Because I'm talking to you. And when we hear that word, apply it to our own heart, not to someone else, not to, I guess he told them. It is the Holy Spirit speaking. Now he goes to the church of Ephesus. Listen to Revelation 2, 1 through 5. Now, in the book of Revelation, the revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of John, the beloved. The revelation of Jesus through John, the beloved. So you're hearing the voice of Christ himself, the head of the church, the pastor of the church. And he says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write. Angel represents the pastor. And many people would say, had said the during the study period, and I'll say, well, that's an angel that was watching over Ephesus, and the seven stars are the pastor. Both are the pastors. Listen to me, folks. God does not need to write a message to his angels. So the angel represents the pastors, and the seven stars represent the pastors. Seven golden lampstands I'm going to talk to you about represent the churches. Now, I know your deeds. Nope. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him. Now, these are the words of God. Jesus is saying to him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Jesus always pointed back to God the Father. Yet from the human standpoint, or relating to us, it is Jesus. Relating to us through his Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. You cannot separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one. And the Lord says, listen to me. Now, think of this. Pastors, I want you to know something. My Father's got you in his right hand. Looking at us, he says this. And he walks among the seven golden lampstands. Now listen to me, folks. Jesus is in every service. Jesus is in the church. You and I can be out here in a parking lot. Jesus is going to the parking lot. He's not going to stay in this building. This building is not the church. You and I, assembling together, we are the body of believers. We make up the church. We're living and breathing. We are not an organization. We are an organism. We are alive in Christ. And Jesus says, give them the message, John, and let them know that I'm walking among them. Now, I want you to think about that. Oh, I know what Scripture says. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Now, see, preacher, I know that. You know, I know it too. But have you ever stopped to realize that he's very serious? He's not dead serious. He's alive serious. And he says, where you are, I am. Are you getting it? I'm going to be where you are. And I'm going to talk directly to you. I will send my pastors, the preachers. I will send one another to you. I will build my church with all the multiplicity of personalities that I so desire. You do know nobody in here thinks alike, right? And the Lord says, I want you to have freedom. I want you to pay attention to who I really am. I've created each one of you individually for a purpose. And the main purpose is for me to love you and show you how much I love you. The Lord said, I want to show you my love. I'm not going to just talk about it. I'm going to show you through prayer. How many times have you witnessed in our own congregation when doctors would say there's no hope, and yet the babies are growing, the smiles are everywhere, and God says, I'm talking to you. I'm the one that deals with the ultimate outcome of every situation. You and I think we can fix it. No, you can't. For years and years, I told kids of this church, when they would get out of hand, if you don't straighten up, boy, I will unscrew your head. And one of the little boys, Smith, asked his mom one day, Brother Larry must have a big screwdriver, Mama. He's going to unscrew my head. You see, we understand when someone's speaking to us in love. So Jesus said, John, the beloved, tell them, give them the word from me that I am walking among them. No place you go that Jesus isn't with you. Oh, I know you want to say, well, no, hide the Bible. I'm in a place and I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. Don't worry, Pastor. Nobody knows that I'm a Christian when I did that. Jesus does. Do you think there's any situation where you go that Christ isn't there as a Christian? Do we not understand that the Bible is given to the Jewish nation, the Christians, now? We are the family of God. And yet you and I so often want to judge people in the world for what they are doing. Folks, if they don't know Jesus, I keep reminding you, if they don't know Jesus, that's the least of their problems, what they're doing in the world. Therefore, you and I must stand strong and true and say, Thus saith the Lord, my God, I'm talking to you. Jesus says then, I know. Did you ever get surprised with something? Kids, I've told you all the story of me breaking the cookie jar top. Then I threw it away over a fence, hoping my mother wouldn't miss it. And then I couldn't find it later. But the Lord says, I know. Listen to this. To the church at Ephesus. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. Listen to the praises they're getting. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. All right. Jesus says, I know all the works you're doing. I see those works. I know that you stand strong against that which is evil. And I know you've been ready to die in the works that you do and glorifying my name. I know. But then Jesus got into a different subject with the church at Ephesus. And that was a subject matter that I'm sure the whole congregation had trouble with. Because he says, I see your good works. I see what you're doing. I see all the programs. I see all this other stuff. And I do know that you're standing strong. But then he says, I want you to remember and repent or else. Now, when Jesus is talking to these seven churches, it is the perfect number of God, but also each church will represent something that each congregation is going through. And Jesus says, here's the guideline. Here's what I want you to pay attention to. Because I know you do all of these great and wonderful things in my name. I know that. But when Jesus says, but, pay attention. When you have a therefore in the Bible, see what it's there for, and you'll get your answer. Jesus says, remember and repent or else. Now that or else ought to wake up pastors, Christians, all of us. Verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. Woo! You know, they just got Jesus just bragged on them. And now, actually that's psychology, as you all know. Saying something good just before you nail them. Yet I hold this against you. Listen to this. You have forsaken your first love. What? You've just told us that we've done all of this great work. Many works for God are done. They're tremendous, but they are not blessed because they are not done in love. Many people said, this is what I have to do. I have to go. Well, now, you know, I got to go to church on Sunday. Go! But you don't leave a deadly situation so you can go to church. You do not withhold medication from a hurting child because you're saving it up for a mission trip. You think God really blesses that kind of garbage? God said, I want to look to your heart and I want you to know something. You have forsaken your first love. Then he says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Now, Christians, do you not remember when you got saved? You probably won't remember the age. Some do. But you remember that experience. And when you said yes to Jesus Christ, it was like he already had you right up there. So excited over salvation. So excited that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Really excited. What happens? Fellow Christian said, I know you're excited right now, but you just wait till tragedy happens with you or your family and you won't be so excited about the Lord. That goes on in the churches. Oh, I understand. I know you're high right now. You know, it's just like being on drugs. No, it's not. It's like being with Jesus. Amen. And then we walk away from him, and God looks and said, oh, that's great work. You've done a great ministry. You've done all of this, but you've done it for the wrong reason. You've become religious and broken your relationship with me. I love you. It's a marriage. And religion destroys because you're looking at rules and regulations. You know what God looks at and uses? Love. And in my expression of love to the Lord, it is a focus of wanting to do what is right that God tells us to do. Realizing that as long as we're human, we're going to slip. Realizing that that can happen. The way that you stay at the foot of the cross is to understand that the very next second, something can pull your mind away from the love of God. That habit that you had, that the one that kills you and kills your spirit slowly creeps back in, especially when you're working for the Lord. The deceiver is always there. And that deceiver wants to continue to deceive. He can't get you sold. You're going to heaven, Christian. Listen to me. But he can sure make your life on earth miserable, and you can sure make your whole family miserable, and all those who love you miserable. But I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. I look back to that and remember as a child, or around 8 years old, as a child accepting Christ and telling the church so, going forward and telling the church so. And the feeling that I had as a kid talking to a church, but this kid had said yes to Jesus. Religion, the works of man, stopped me from being baptized because I don't think he really knows what he's doing, or he went forward because of someone else. Folks, when an adult says that to you as a child, what are you going to do? When you know you're in a corner, go back to that first love. If you do not repent, listen, church, the Lord says, look, I know you're in a mess. That mess stops here. That mess stops now. Tell me about your mess and let me fix it. Because you can't. You won't. You don't even want to. Many things we hide from or think we do in prayer life to the Lord because we really don't want him to fix it, so we'll skip over it. Are you not hearing that? That's a fact. I read the book. Jesus says it's a fact. If you do not repent, now, this I fear for the church of our generation. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. The lampstand is the church, the body, together. Because the church chose to get into religion instead of a relationship with Christ, they went back into locking down. They were really powerful over going against those individuals who were false prophets, false doctrine. They nailed them. But they forgot the power in love. They nailed him, but they didn't nail him in love. Out of all the years I worked with the criminal element, I thought there was something wrong with me. I got here and knew it. I thought there was something wrong with me because I loved those inmates and wanted them to have a life like I knew, walking with Jesus. I cared. I cared about their family. I care about children. I love them. Folks, I love you. That's why it is so important for us to keep God's word, God's voice. When God says, I'm talking to you, don't look to somebody else. They're not you. I want you to follow me. What had they done? They had forsaken their first love, Jesus. But their first love had not forsaken them. You know all the ditches you and I jump into in life going down the road? All the hurdles that we have in front of us. It's that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that gives us the renewed strength each time. Religion doesn't do it. Christ does. Religion, Jesus never really cared about it. I don't know whether you all know this or not, but Jesus was not a very religious person. Jesus wasn't preaching in the church or in the temple. Where was he? He was in the ditch of life, out in a community. He was out where people were hurting, not where everybody thought they were so good. I've been so good for Jesus. That would make me start a revival preaching. There is none righteous. There is none good. No, not one. And Jesus even said this when the individual came to him and said, "Good master." Know what Jesus says? "Why do you call me good? There is none good but the Lord God." And we know now what he was saying was that individual recognized him as God incarnate. Said, "You said that to me because you recognized my Father's word." Ah, and Jesus again, what does he do? He gets hungry. In that last week, as they move out, preparing for the cross, he looked at an olive tree and said, "I'm hungry." And he went to that olive tree. Remember? Leaved out. If it had fruit on it, it would leave. Have leaves on it. So it had leaves. And he got there, no fruit. And he said, "From this day forward, no one will eat of your branches." And we're thinking, as you're reading and thinking, why in the world did God curse the olive tree? Why? Well, it showed signs that it was alive, but it really wasn't. Fig tree. It was a fig tree. My mind went to the olives. But think of it. He says, "Don't you dare dress up like you're serving me and then not serve me. For you are giving a false word, a false fruit. Therefore, I will judge you." God says, "Why don't you just come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. I'll take care of it for you." And you know, it doesn't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we lift our heart to you, Lord, and the hearts of so many that are burdened. The brokenness of so many, Father, who have to deal with life. Deal with individuals, Father, that think they're better than anyone else. And yet, Father, we realize some of those people really are your children. Forgive us, each and every one, for our shortcomings. Help us that we might live up to that precious name of Jesus. Help us, Father, we pray in his name. Amen.